You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sent. I turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You wanna feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that love can bring. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turning your radio on every Saturday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time is always a good idea. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. You know, the guy who sings that has been a guest on this show. And as I've said many times before, I'll say it every week if you want me to. I grew up singing those Southern gospel hymns with my parents and grandparents every Sunday morning in church, and those memories are precious. They're priceless to me. They play a big part in who I am today. And with the recipe for success in the political cesspool for the last 14 years has been our ability to blend the elements of who we are and serve that up on the radio each and every week. And we blend the elements of our cultural and our racial heritage with that of our Christian heritage. And the result is, well, of course, what you hear here on the Liberty News Radio Network every Saturday night. And we don't differentiate. If it's not in vogue, if other people in the alt-right aren't talking about matters of faith and spirituality and Christianity, I have never put my finger in the air and said, well, what's everybody else doing? We better do that. And I think that's why we've had such longevity here. We do things our way, and we do it for an audience that can relate to that and accepts that, and that's all I've ever wanted. And you've made it, of course, very memorable. It's just been a wonderful ride, and it continues. And, of course, this is who I am, and it's very important to me that my children be rooted in the faith of our fathers. My son, my daughter, both 1 week old when we took them to church for the first time. And I think there's something very beautiful about that, to raise your family in the same faith and traditions that were handed down to you. And of course, we offer objective criticism on the modern-day apostate church and its leaders. But I will never deny that church-going Southerners are my people and that I love them dearly. And anyway, well, you knew all that, of course, didn't you? Well, I'll tell you what you also know, and it doesn't need to be said. We've got another great show coming up for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Hasn't it been just a wonderful way to start the new year? That first show we did, it seems like we've been on the air for 3 months already in 2018. We've covered so much ground with so many people. 2 weeks ago, our first show of the year, no less than 8 all-star guests talking about goals individually and collectively. Last week, I really enjoyed both of our guests last week. Nick Griffin, Lana Loctiv, fantastic show. And then we've got another one coming up for you tonight. The hits keep coming on, and wait until we tell you who we got next week and then unveil the lineup for the month of February. I don't know. You tell me. I don't know if we've ever had a run with this many phenomenal action-packed shows back to back to back, and it's just going to continue. I think we have worked very hard to raise our game with the dawn of the new year, and I hope that you're enjoying it. Tonight, Kevin McDonald, he's back, and Brother Nathaniel. Brother Nathaniel, one of the most colorful guests we've ever had, and he was Bill Rowland's favorite guest, all-time favorite guest. You asked Bill Rowland, Brother Nathaniel. If he was ever filling in for me when I was out, he said, let's get Brother Nathaniel on. And it's been a while since Brother Nathaniel's been on. It's been a couple of years now. So we're going to hear what Brother Nathaniel's been up to a little later tonight. But in addition to all of that, I received a letter in the mail a couple of days ago from a very dear member of our listening audience. And I'd like to share it with you now and tell you how we're going to start the show out tonight on a much more melancholy and somber note, really tragic. The letter reads this. Dear James, about this time 2 years ago, you did a wonderful thing on your radio show by remembering the heinous slaughter of Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom by 5 black savages and bringing it to the attention of your listeners. Keep it up. We should never forget them. Along with the Knoxville horror, we should also remember the Wichita horror, which you are familiar with, when 2 black Africans, the Carr brothers, terrorized 5 white college students for an extended period of time, then took them out naked to a snow-covered field and shot each of them in the head. Execution en masse. Fortunately, one survived. Now, other than possibly family members, I'll bet an enormous amount of Federal Reserve notes that I'm the only one who remembers the Collierville horror. This one was carried out about 15 or 20 years ago. A woman aged 65 went to a Sonic drive-in in Collierville, Tennessee at about 11:30 a.m. and was immediately carjacked by two blacks. They drove to a field in Fayette County, that's right here adjacent to Memphis, took her purse, threw her out of the car, and proceeded to drive over her repeatedly and left her mangled and dead in the field. Due to the race of these victims and the above vicious murderers, no matter how savagely carried out, there is just nothing but ho-hum from the mainstream media. Now, Chapter 2, the news that is noteworthy. It's reported in Texas, Tyler, I believe it was, that when two white men and a black man were on a drinking spree together, and in the course of events, the white men tied the black to their truck and drug him along, from which he died. That's real news, big time. The story instantly went nationwide. The victim, James Byrd, became a household name across the country. What was the difference? And for the score here, 7 dead people just in the stories that I mentioned, and 1 dead black person. The 9 killers of the 7 white people are still eating 3 meals a day and watching television, even though their activities are somewhat restricted for a while longer by their confinement. The 2 white men who were responsible for the 1 dead black man as a result of their intoxication, a factor but not an excuse, were executed within 24 months. It's obvious that the judicial system in the good old U.S. of A. is now loaded against white people. Additional proof is the unbelievable, idiotic decision that you received at the hand of the court in Michigan. All of this savage killing and judicial tyranny needs to be revealed and kept on the front burner. Now would be a good time for you to remember Channon and Christopher again, as you did on your show in 2016. You don't know, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, the man who wrote that letter to me, but I do. And when he speaks, I listen. He's very much responsible, perhaps as much as anyone in the world, for the success of this radio program. And, of course, he's quite right. And I emailed him back, and I said, I'm so glad you reminded me of this event, and we are going to talk about it here tonight. And of course, when it comes to crime, black on white, white on black, you know how the establishment media is going to present that. And you know how biased it's going to be. But this situation in Knoxville really beat it all. Lest we forget, and it was just earlier this month, in January of 2007. This month marks the 11th anniversary of the rape, torture, and murder of Channon Christian and Christopher Newsom. It was on January 6th, 2007, that Channon Christian, a 21-year-old white woman, and Christopher Newsom, a 23-year-old white male, were carjacked at gunpoint by LaMarcus Slim Davidson, who forced them to his house in Knoxville, Tennessee. There, Davidson, along with Latalvis Cobbins and George Thomas, aided by Eric Dwayne Boyd and Vanessa Coleman, bound, gagged, and blindfolded Christopher and repeatedly sodomized him, making Channon watch. Well, that was just the beginning of the Knoxville horror. We'll tell you more about that when we come back, and even more news-related coverage from the political cesspool before we get to our guests tonight, all coming up this hour. Stay tuned, folks. These stories, as horrible as they are to remember, need to be remembered, because if we don't do them, I guarantee you no other media outlet will. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we are remembering the tragic and the savage rape, torture, kidnapping, murder of two young white college sweethearts. Because who else on mainstream AM radio is going to do that? And we are doing it here not because we want to, but because we should. These people should be remembered, not just because of this individual case. This is really an example of what, I mean, the gentleman who wrote in from Arkansas, he listed three examples. We could all list countless examples from memory, just like the example with Kate Steinle. This is the true reality and the true legacy of Martin Luther King's Diversity Wonderland. This is what it really, what really came from forced integration at the point of a bayonet. This is the result, and I know these are obviously extreme examples, but this is much closer to the truth of what it's like living in a society that's multicultural and multiracial than the utopia that we were promised. So they got these two kids, and they gagged, blindfolded them, sodomized them while the girlfriend watched. After several hours, they shot the young man in the head, dragged him to a nearby railroad track, shot him twice more. Then they poured gasoline on his body, set him on fire, and returned to the house. Over the next few days, they tortured Channon, the woman, binding her, beating her repeatedly, and raping her repeatedly in every imaginable way. Her genitals were injured so severely that medical examiners believe she was penetrated with an object, perhaps a chair leg. They forced her to drink household cleaning products, apparently trying to destroy DNA evidence. After days of torture, they covered Channon's head with a trash bag and stuffed her, still alive, into a kitchen garbage can. She died slowly from suffocation as the perpetrators ate breakfast only a few feet from her. The event, now known as the Knoxville Horror, was initially blacked out by the media, but as word of the crime leaked, public outrage, including that from performer Charlie Daniels, forced news agencies to begin coverage. In an interview, the head of the Knoxville branch of the NAACP defended the perpetrators, insisting that it was not a hate crime, that is, it wasn't racially motivated. You may remember that particular interview, it was aired on CNN's primetime show at the time in 2007, and I was the one who was brought on to debate the NAACP spokesman, and it went something like this.
And joining me now to talk about this, the Reverend Ezra Mays, president of the Knoxville chapter of the NAACP. Thanks for being with us tonight. Also, James Edwards, who hosts the conservative radio talk show, The Political Cesspool. And thanks to you as well for being with us.
How's it going, Karen? Thank you for having me.
But James, I just want to ask you about the Knox County District Attorney General's office, the special counsel, saying there's nothing whatsoever that indicates any hate crime. He also goes on to say there are things that really coincidentally prove just the opposite. So why has this case become a rallying cry among the white supremacists, fringe groups, and even conservative columnists online?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for people that I don't have any association with, but I'll tell you this. I believe that probably the government officials in Knoxville are concerned with being labeled white supremacists for taking a conservative point of view on this issue. They probably don't want to defy the false gods of political correctness. What you have here, Karen, is a horribly wicked crime in which two young college students were carjacked, held captive, and raped before being murdered. Now, if that isn't a hate crime, then I don't know what is. If found guilty, these perpetrators should face swift justice, and the firing squad would be too lenient for them. But I'll promise you this, had the roles been reversed, and had the victims been black and the murderers white, this would have been the biggest news story in America on every nightly newscast back in February when this originally occurred.
Reverend Mays, do you agree with that, that if this had been reversed racially, we would have heard much more about it?
I beg to differ. I believe that it had it been reversed racially, you would not have heard anything about it.
I believe
that this has received some national attention, and I do not believe that it was a race crime. I believe that it was a crime that was committed. I am not one to judge. I cannot say guilty or not guilty. I do say that we do feel for the families of those who have lost loved ones, and you cannot be human and not feel sympathetic for those who have lost loved ones. I do not agree with the crime, nor do I believe that it was a hate crime.
Karen, I believe there's not a doubt in anyone's mind in America that if the races in this instance had been reversed, that the NAACP would have been howling that this would have been classified as a hate crime. The NAACP never believes that brutal acts of violence committed by blacks against whites is motivated by racial hatred. And certainly, the NAACP couldn't provide America tonight with an equivalent random act of violence committed by blacks against other blacks that can compare to this massacre.
All right, well, listen, Reverend Mays, you were at this rally in Knoxville over the weekend. Apparently some whites were holding up signs saying things like diversity equals death. Aryan groups online have been calling it a rally against genocide. Were you surprised to see, and there are some of the pictures, just how much vitriol there was when it comes to this story?
I'm sorry, repeat that question, please.
Were you surprised to see, if you look at the rally, you were there, you see the anger, I mean, the palpable anger and tension there. Were you surprised to see this?
I was not surprised to see the anger and tension. I was surprised to see the Nazi group come to town and to protest. But I was not surprised to see the anger and the tension. I was very angry about the crime that had taken place. I was not angry because it was a racial crime. Nevertheless, I was angry because two young people had been murdered, and that should make anyone angry. So I was not surprised by the anger. I was surprised by the racial slurs that took place during the protest. Everybody in the city clearly states it was not a racial crime. It is people outside of Cincinnati who are trying to make this a racial crime.
All right.
And put...
I'm sorry, we're out of time, but I wish I could let you have another word at it, James, but we are out of time. Thanks so much for both of you for your points of view, Reverend Ezra Mays as well as James Edwards.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's what it sounded like, and it's interesting, I guess, as a quick aside. Once again, you'll notice there, well after the founding of the Political Cesspool, well after I'd had my bogus reputation cemented by the hate groups ADL and SPLC, I was still being introduced on national television in prime time as a conservative. But as the media gets more dishonest, what do you expect? My positions, my stands on the positions have never changed. They have not wavered. They have not evolved. They were right in 2004. When I started the show, they were right in 2007 when I appeared on CNN regularly, by the way, and including in that segment you just heard, and they are still the same today. But, of course, the descriptions of me have become much more Interesting. But getting back to the Knoxville Horror, it's just one of many examples of especially heinous black-on-white crimes involving kidnapping, torture, and murder. These types of murders are becoming more numerous, more brutal, and more brazen. But I wonder, you remember all that nonsense about Freddie Gray, I can't breathe. I wonder if Channon Christian was able to say, I can't breathe, as she suffered in that garbage can with a plastic trash bag wrapped around her head. Had she been able to, it wouldn't have mattered because her pleas would have fallen on the deaf ears of subhuman creatures who did what they did only because she and her boyfriend were white. May we never forget the names of Channon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Because again, as I said earlier, it's not just about this story. It's about every story like this that you know, that you've never heard of, that has been underreported or never reported at all, and it happens every day because we don't have the guts to say that this experiment has not worked and that different people groups, different racial groups with different interests and different abilities and different IQs and different genetic predispositions to crime and everything else, different heroes, different holidays, different languages, different everything, that they can't occupy the same living space without there being conflict or much worse than that. We'll be back with more right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina is a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Moving on to something else that caught my attention this week, and it would be hard for this particular story not to catch my attention. You know, all of you out there know the news before I do. I don't know if you know that, or at least some of you do. I started getting text messages about midweek from people who said, you got to check this out. You're not going to believe it. And there's actually a line in the movie A League of Their Own. Have you seen that movie with Tom Hanks and Gina Davis about the All-American Girls Baseball League, the professional baseball league of women who played while male professional baseball was shut down during World War II? Well, there's a line in that movie where one of the characters say, take me home and put me to bed. I've seen enough to know I've seen too much. I think that moment may have came from me this week. When I found out that Jesse Jackson gave an award to the so-called journalist for defeating me in court. Now, he didn't give an award to the journalist who defeated me in court. He gave an award to the journalist for defeating me in court. So I think that's an important distinction. It wasn't as though this journalist got the award because he was such a wonderful journalist. No, he got the award because of the outcome of that court case. So this lying journalist who wrote that I was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan received an award from Jesse Jackson on Martin Luther King Day for beating me in court. Now, here's the story. From the Detroit Free Press, it reads, the Reverend Jesse Jackson told a Detroit audience on Monday night on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day that it has never been easy in this nation to be a marcher for humanitarian causes and civil rights. Marking this year's holiday, the Detroit Free Press reads, Jackson's Rainbow Push Coalition honored three Michiganders and South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu with Let Freedom Ring awards. The Michigan honorees were Ban Cole Thompson, a journalist for the Detroit News, Mark Schlissel, president of the University of Michigan, and Flint Mayor Karen Weaver. In citing why the winners were chosen, the organization pointed to Ban Cole Thompson's assertive and sometimes controversial writings. Now listen to what the official program of the awards gala read. Thompson's work has drawn the ire of leading ideological opponents, culminating in an important First Amendment victory before the Michigan Court of Appeals in a 2016 lawsuit against him by white nationalist James Edwards, the program said. So let's recap where we are. An awards ceremony is held in Detroit on Martin Luther King Day. Jesse Jackson flies in to give the awards. Of the three people who were presented awards, one is the columnist who wrote that I was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. He received the award, which according to the official program of the event, said is because he won an important First Amendment victory before the Michigan Court of Appeals in 2016 in a lawsuit filed against him by white nationalist James Edwards. In fact, it said it was the culmination of his career. It was the apex, the zenith. And they wrote that I was a leading ideological opponent. That's remarkable for so many reasons. First of all, being able to falsely write that I'm a leader of the Ku Klux Klan and get away with it appears to be the culmination of this liar's career, according again to this official program of the award ceremony emceed by Jesse Jackson on Monday. But I think it also goes to show how much stock the enemy puts into the outcome of that contentious lawsuit. They knew how important that decision was going to be, even if our side didn't. And I tried to get people on board with that. I said, this is a big case. I said, this could change the way that oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to court. And it was just me and Kyle Bristow against the world. The only support we received before the decision was announced was really from Sam Bushman. After the decision was announced, well, everybody wanted to talk about it because they knew what a horrible decision it was and how egregious and unlawful and how a new precedent for defamation had been rewritten. But, you know, before, I mean, in our audience, of course, now God knows you did your part, ladies and gentlemen. We wouldn't have made it as far as we did without you. But this is the sad fact of the situation. But furthermore, the fact that Jesse Jackson felt the occasion was significant enough to present an award at this lavish gala to the man who beat me in court demonstrates exactly to what extent they consider us to be, as they put it, leaders of their ideological opposition. Well, this week it's again made the news. Sam Bushman was the first to reach out to me, and I was on his show, I believe, on Wednesday morning to talk about this. Peter Primello reached out and asked if I'd write an article on VDare about the fact that this columnist received an award from Jesse Jackson for beating me in court. Jared Taylor wrote to me in an email, just when you think they've hit a new low, they go lower still. When will it end? Well, that's a good question, Jared. Sam Dixon also emailed me after reading this story. He wrote, it's remarkable how these people still babble on about how they believe in free speech. I knew back in high school that this was just a bait for the gullible fools because it was as clear as day how angry the progressives and the liberals were when someone like me brought up inconvenient facts, ideas, and arguments. But they still, even then, didn't dare a front-on attack on the right to free speech like they're doing now. And to cap it all off by describing the right to libel as free speech, that takes the prize. And, of course, you all know the background of this story, ladies and gentlemen, so I won't repeat that except to say he wrote that I was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. That is the textbook definition of defamation, according to the Restatement of Torts, which is essentially the legal Bible. And in the decision handed down by the Michigan Court of Appeals, they said, James Edwards is right. This is the textbook definition. But Aesop tells us to judge him by the company he keeps. And, you know, he knows David Duke, after all, so... Case dismissed. Can you beat it? And I was ready to put a bookend on that, in a manner of speaking, at least mentally. and then this comes up. And I'm looking at a picture right now. I'm here in the studio. I'm looking at a picture on the computer that I read my notes from. And a picture of Jesse Jackson, of all people. Well, I'll tell you what, we don't lose often. And we don't lose often here in the political cesspool. But when we do suffer a setback, it's a cause for celebration among our enemies. And I would ask you, ladies and gentlemen, for the love of God, if you appreciate our effort and our work on the radio and you want to see us continue the fight, please make a contribution to the political cesspool. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. I mean, look at what we've just covered so far tonight in this hour. Channing Christian, Christopher Newsom, that double murder, that horrific situation in Knoxville. Who did CNN reach out to give the pro-white viewpoint on that story? They called us. They could have had anyone. They called us. And that was way back in 2007. We've been at the top of the charts in this movement for a long, long time. What happened when I got beat in court? Awards are given in celebration by Jesse Jackson, flying in to honor the man who got the best of me. Well, he didn't really get the best of me. I mean, he wouldn't have beaten me in a one-on-one competition. He wouldn't have beaten me in a spelling contest or an IQ test. I mean, he you know, it was a rigged court. What do you want me to say? I didn't have a chance in that court. But we still fought it. When you have justices that are going to completely circumvent the rule of law to make a politically correct decision, what are you going to do? But the fact is, our enemies take us seriously. Like I said a few weeks ago, $250,000 to remove the Nathan Bedford Forrest monument. They came up with that no problem at all. How much do you think this award ceremony cost where Jesse Jackson gave this thug an award? And you know damn well Jesse Jackson didn't show up for free. I bet you It was tens of thousands of dollars. You know, when we had our political cesspool conference, which was a first-rate conference with first-rate speakers, first-rate attendees at a first-rate venue back in October of last year, October of 17, you know, that cost, what, $15,000. Well, I mean, we pulled out all the stops. We made it a nice event. But, you know, at the same time, I bet that wasn't a drop in the bucket to what this single award ceremony cost our enemies. And we're battling these people. And in almost every instance, we're besting them for pennies on the dollar. It, just imagine what we could do with equal funding. You know, what we bring in a year on this show, and I'm so thankful for the man out there who sends us in $3. We got a guy out there that sends us in $3 every quarter. It's the best he can do. And we take that and we do with it the best that we can. God bless you, sir. You know, there are people out there that send in $100 a quarter, some more. It's all relative, but imagine what we could do. And you look back on our career. Look, think of what we could do if we had equal funding with what these people have got. But what we do have is the love our audience has shown us, and you've given us the ability to win so many battles over the years. Nobody has done more with what we've had to work with. But just think of what we could do if we had the kind of funding that our enemy has at his disposal. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Make a donation tonight. Stand up. Stand with us. We'll be back with Kevin McDonald right after this.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, everybody. Now, you remember, first show of the year, of course, we had on 8 different leaders to share with you their individual goals and their collective goals. And the people that we had on that particular show, our first show of the year, was Richard Spencer, Kyle Bristow, Henrik Palmgren, Jared Taylor, Dr. Michael Hill, Patrick Casey, Sam Dixon, and David Duke. Now, there was one other person that I specifically wanted to have on that show that I felt most certainly above any others should be highlighted, and that was Dr. Kevin MacDonald. Alas, sometimes people have conflicts on the night you need them, and he was taking his wife out on a date that night, and I said, Kevin, you got your priorities straight, brother, so we'll get you next time. And we rescheduled Kevin for tonight, but I'm basically just bringing him on for one segment, the same amount of time that I brought all of those other people on, to share with us his thoughts on what we can do this year. But in case he needs an introduction, and I don't think that's possible for this audience, Dr. Kevin MacDonald is a former professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, and the author of several books, including The Culture of Critique and Cultural Insurrections. He currently serves as the editor of the Occidental Quarterly and of the Occidental Observer website. Kevin, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Hey, it's great to be here, James. Sorry I didn't make it a couple weeks ago.
That's okay. We've got you now. Better late than never. And I know this is just the first of a series of appearances that you'll make with us in 2018. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked each of those eight of our peers there that I just mentioned. And then I want to talk about some recent news that you've made, because you've made big news already in the early parts of the current year. But the question I asked them, Kevin, what are your personal goals for this year, as they relate, of course, to the movement? And where do you think we can be 1 year from now if we work together and pull in the right direction?
Well, for me, I'm really trying to get a book out on the people of the West. You know, I've written a lot, and I think it's getting there, but it'll be tight. But I hope to get it out this year. It'd be about us, you know, who we are, what we are like, and so on, our prospects. As far as what I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to continue editing Occidental Observer, Occidental Quarterly, and keep doing what I'm doing. It's a full-time job. I don't feel like I'm retired at all. And, you know, I feel we are making progress. I think that, I think the liberals on the left, the Democratic Party are just going all in with illegal aliens. And I just don't think that Americans are going to go for this, especially white Americans. They're just not going to resonate to it. I think we will make progress this year, but we'll see. I mean, certainly people on the left are very confident going into the 2018 election, but I'm pretty confident too. I do think that they're overplaying their hand, and they've really become sort of captive to the far, far left now. A lot will depend on individual candidates and individual races, but I'm very optimistic.
Well, that's good to hear, because you're a smart guy. And you're right about a lot of things.
I wouldn't have got a lot of money on all that.
Well, no, I think we always have reasons for optimism. Now, this program, my work, has always been a very effusive, a very charismatic, glasses half full type of presentation. And so I never really get down. I mean, you know, yeah, we suffer some setbacks from time to time, but I relish the struggle. I enjoy suffering. And so I have a lot to be happy about, I guess. But
yeah.
I would ask you this, Kevin, in addition to that, you were in the news. I believe I was reading about you in Newsweek, no less, among many other publications. Yeah, let's talk about that very quickly. So I mentioned, as part of your biography, you're the author of The Culture of Critique. It would appear as though a national figure recently was reading your book and saying good things about it, and that certainly created its own media-manufactured firestorm. Tell us who that was, and well, just tell us all the details about that.
And this is Paul Nehlen, who's running for Congress in a district in southern Wisconsin. He's a great guy, and I think he's completely red-pilled, actually. I wish him all the best. But he did a tweet where he had the cover of my book, said he was reading it. That's all it took. And this professor named Sandra Gilman, whom I was familiar with, because in my first book, I wrote about, you know, issues like Jewish IQ. Well, he wrote a book saying that, basically saying you can't ever categorize Jews in any way. It was just absurd. But anyway, so he wrote this really nasty piece in Newsweek, which I responded to on my website, and National Observer. I mean, it was just vicious. And the fact is he hadn't read it. I mean, once again, there's no indication from anything he wrote that he'd actually read the book. And that's just a common theme. You know, I get some of these really nasty, negative ad hominem reviews, and then there's no substance. And in a way, that's good, because I don't see any arguments out there against what I've written. You know, it's sad that you know, something like Newsweek would go with that. It just had no credibility. That's sort of the way we're still at here, where, you know, the major media tries to ignore us, and then once in a while, when it can't, it produces these outrageous, slanderous articles.
Well, it was an amazing situation, and talking about being optimistic, this is in and of itself a cause for optimism, the way I see it. Paul Nehlen, of course, ran against Paul Ryan in the most recent election cycle. He was defeated, but he garnered for himself a huge following to the point of national celebrity. And this is a guy that is a very successful self-made businessman. He owns, I think, several patents. All right. So he's relatively a genius. He's very traditionalist, but he has come out flat out and said he's pro-white. I mean, he has absolutely said that. This is a man that is a leading contender for a seat in the United States House of Representatives. And they asked him, well, are you white supremacist? Would you ask that of a Jewish person? Would you say a Jewish person is a Jewish supremacist for standing up for their people? And he just continued to ask that. I mean, he is saying really no more, no less than some of the things we've said, Kevin, in your writings and in my work on the radio. I mean, it's very much a parallel, except for the fact that this is the guy who very realistically could hold a seat in Congress very soon. So, and he has not backed down a bit. He has not apologized. So again, as much as we could point to a lot of things that would cause us distress, there are things that are out there that we can point that could give us a lot of hope. And I think this is one of them. And the fact that he withered that national media firestorm earlier this month and only doubled down is perhaps the beginning of an awakening that white people are going to have across the country and around the Western world.
Yeah, I've corresponded with him. He's also a very strong Christian. He's just a good guy. And especially if Paul Ryan retires, I think he'd have a shot, because his name recognition has got to be way up there. And sure. You know, he's very honest, and he's talking about issues that people in southern Wisconsin are very interested in. You know, they're interested in these issues about immigration and so on. And, you know, it's very heartening. As you say, I think our message, the right, is getting the message out. People are aware of it. They're, you know, we're still pilloried. You get these nasty things like happened to me with Newsweek. But the message is out there, and I don't think they can put the genie back in the bottle. I think that Paul Nehlen would have, if he got in there, it would be huge. You know, but that's what we need, is a national political figure, somebody who's in office. That would just be a godsend to us. And I'm, you know, I do think he's a great guy and a great candidate, a very smart guy too.
Well, and I know also, Kevin, that you may check this out on Twitter. You and I are both still on Twitter for the moment, as Nick Griffin said on the show last week, by the skin of our teeth. But there was actually, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but this mayor or this town, I don't know what they call him up there, who's essentially the mayor of this town, who said he's flat out pro-white. And he didn't back down, and that's up there. That's on my Twitter feed. I just found out about this. It's in Maine. It was in Maine, of all places. But you got to read that story. I just found out about it today and tweeted about it. So if you go to my Twitter, you can check it out. We only have seconds remaining. The Occidental Quarterly, folks, subscribe to it. You can subscribe via Kevin McDonald's website, theoccidentalobserver.net. And with only seconds remaining, Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, who has come in for the remainder of the show, has a very quick question for you. I hope we can get to it.
Well, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Eddie the Bombardier Miller here. I'm sorry I've never met you before.
I heard y'all mention U.S. intelligence a minute ago. I'm going to try to get this out real fast. Dr. David Duke did a study back in, I went to the Wetumpka, Alabama back in June, I think it was, and he said that the vast majority of National Merit Scholars coming out of high school in the United States are Gentiles, but yet a minority of them are respected or accepted into Ivy League schools in relation to Jews. Yet, when they get into Ivy League schools, the minority of Gentile schools vastly outperform the Jews when it comes to Phi Beta Kappa. What do you say about that in your in the Jew? How does that relate to Jewish IQ, Jewish intelligence?
Well, that's based on Ron Unz's study, a very, very important study that he did on accomplishments and so on. That was one of the big findings, that you had these very talented non-Jews, white kids, who are not being admitted to the Ivy League schools anywhere near the way Jews are. I think Jews are now about 25% in most of these places, which is, you know, like 12 times the representation of the population, whereas white people are represented like much less than that, you know, and so proportionally wise, we are way underrepresented. We're the most underrepresented group there is.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to read more about that, Kevin McDonald covers topics of that nature every day on his website, theoccidentalobserver.net. Kevin, we love you. Talk to you again soon. We're coming up on a hard break, but thank you for being with us tonight.
I really enjoyed it, James. Bye-bye.
Always, my friend.